the NTSB opens the public docket on the Galloping Ghost. EASA certifies the Rotax 912IS. And United's first 787 makes its first flight. This is Aero News for Wednesday, August 22, 2012. I'm Glenn Moyer. As part of its continuing investigation into the September 2011 crash of a highly modified P-51D airplane at the National Championship Air Races in Reno, the National Transportation Safety Board has opened the public docket. On September 16, 2011, the pilot of the Galloping Ghost experienced an upset while turning between pylons 8 and 9 on the race course. The airplane crashed on the ramp in the box seat spectator area. The pilot and 10 spectators were killed and more than 60 others were injured. The NTSB has previously made a series of recommendations regarding future air race safety. The docket includes a great deal of information about the circumstances leading up to the accident, as well as modifications made to the Galloping Ghost airplane. One document indicates that pilot Jimmy Leeward was subjected to 17 Gs in the pitch-up following the separation of the trim tab from the airplane. The information being released Tuesday is factual in nature and does not provide any analysis. Included in the docket are photographs, a video, 47 documents, and more than 900 other pages, including interview summaries, maintenance records, and other documents. Analysis of the accident, along with a determination of probable cause, will come later this month when the final report on the investigation is completed. The European Aviation Safety Agency, EASA, has granted a type certificate for the new Rotax 912 ISC aircraft engine, only 5 months after its introduction. EASA promotes the highest standards of safety and environmental protection in civil aviation in Europe and worldwide. In the light sport, ultralight, and general aviation industry, the company that builds the Rotax 912 IS engine, BRP, says it delivers 38% to 70% better fuel efficiency than comparable competitive engines. After the EASA type certificate, BRP's Rotax aircraft engines team will now concentrate on getting certification from the FAA. Other countries will follow as each has its own validation process. With more than 170,000 engines sold over almost 40 years, Rotax aircraft engines are well known in the light sport and ultralight aircraft industry. United Airlines' first 787 Dreamliner has completed its first production flight as Boeing makes final preparations for delivering it to United at the end of September. The aircraft took off from Boeing's Payne Field in Everett, Washington on Sunday. Boeing pilots then flew the 787 around the Seattle area for more than 3 hours as part of planned test of the aircraft's controls and systems. Sunday's flight was part of a series of work that Boeing performs after each 787 comes out of its paint hangar and before airlines take delivery of the planes. The work also includes fueling, systems tests, engine runs, and taxi tests. United has 50 of the Dreamliners on order, along with 100 Boeing 737 MAX 9 aircraft and 25 Airbus A350 XWBs. The airline is the U.S. launch customer for the Dreamliner, and this first airplane came out of the paint hangar on August the 1st. NASA has selected a new mission, set to launch in 2016, that will take the first look into the deep interior of Mars to see why the red planet evolved so differently from Earth as one of our solar system's rocky planets. The new mission, named InSight, will place instruments on the Martian surface to investigate whether the core of Mars is solid or liquid like Earth's, and why Mars' crust is not divided into tectonic plates that drift like the Earth's. Detailed knowledge of the interior of Mars in comparison to Earth will help scientists understand better how terrestrial planets form and evolve. From NASA's next mission to one of its oldest, 35 years ago this week, NASA's Voyager 2 aircraft, the first Voyager spacecraft to launch, departed on a journey that would make it the only spacecraft to visit Uranus and Neptune and the longest operating NASA spacecraft ever. Voyager 2 and its twin Voyager 1 that launched 16 days later are still going strong, hurtling away from our sun. Mission managers are eagerly awaiting the day when they break on through to the other side. That's the space between stars. Voyager 2 is already about 9 billion miles away from the sun, heading in a southerly direction. Voyager 1 is about 11 billion miles away from the sun, heading in a northerly direction. Scientists estimate that the two spacecraft will have enough electrical power to continue collecting data and communicating it back to Earth through 2020 and possibly through 2025. While no one really knows how long it will take to get to interstellar space, Voyager scientists think we don't have long to wait. And besides, the first 35 years has already been one grand ride. When AeroNews continues, quarreling Qantas pilots get a timeout. The Civil Air Patrol invades Baltimore and saluting an original red tail.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
We continue now with Aero News for Wednesday, August 22nd. I'm Glenn Moyer. Two Qantas pilots who got into a heated argument in the cockpit of their 747 prior to a flight from Dallas, Texas to Brisbane, Australia, have been grounded by the airline pending the outcome of an internal investigation. Qantas would only confirm in a prepared statement that the pilot and co-pilot had been temporarily relieved of their flying duties while it looks into the matter, but did not say specifically what behavior led to the action. The Associated Press relays a report from the Sydney Morning Herald that indicates the argument was over takeoff calculations that are input into the airplane's computer prior to departure. An Australian civil aviation official, not authorized to speak to the media, said the two had gotten to a point where they, quote, didn't feel like they could work together, end quote. However, there was no evidence that either pilot had threatened the other. Not that it mattered much. The overnight flight was delayed due to weather along the route, and the delay put the crew over their 20-hour duty limit. But word of the argument reached Qantas operations before the flight departed the following day, on August the 14th, with replacement pilots on board. More than 600 Civil Air Patrol members are gathering in Baltimore this week as the U.S. Air Force Auxiliary officially wraps up its year-long 70th anniversary celebration with all eyes on its high-flying cadet program. CAP officially celebrates the 70th anniversary of its cadet program in October of this year, but gets started early at the 2012 Annual Conference and National Board Meeting, August 21st to the 25th at the Baltimore Marriott Waterfront. As part of this milestone observance, CAP's cadet program is front and center at this year's conference, hosted by the Maryland Wing. August 25th will be Cadet Day, offering young CAP members an opportunity to explore careers with the CIA, find out how to get selected for the U.S. Air Force Academy, build and operate robots, and learn about remote-controlled aircraft. They'll also get a chance to meet aviation legend Colonel Mary Fike, a life member of the CAP from nearby Annapolis. A recipient of many aerospace honors, Fike is an aviation engineer and aircraft restorer who was inducted into the Women in Aviation Pioneer Hall of Fame in 1994. Well, the City Planning Board of Portsmouth, New Hampshire has approved the construction of a helicopter landing pad at Portsmouth Regional Hospital. The vote to approve the helipad was unanimous. The proposal is for a 50 by 50 foot concrete pad adjacent to the emergency room entrance. Building the helipad at the hospital will eliminate ground transportation of trauma patients from Portsmouth International Airport, a ride of about 10 to 15 minutes, according to a report appearing on SeacoastOnline.com. The project has already been approved by the state DOT and the FAA. Meanwhile, officials in Livingston Parish, Louisiana, are in discussions with state and federal officials about the possibility of constructing a new GA airport in their community. Bobby Font, the mayor of Walker, Louisiana, said that the number of airplanes in the parish will make it necessary to build such a facility at some point to move the parish forward in terms of development. But, he said, quote, I don't know if that time is now or not, end quote. The study shows that the airport could be built on as little as 200 acres, but 500 would be the optimal amount of land. The planned 5,400-foot runway would accommodate GA airplanes and some business jets, but not commercial air traffic. It's estimated that the project would cost about $12 million, with 90% funded through federal AIP and other grants. Another of the original Tuskegee Airmen has passed away. Former Captain George Hickman, who was among the first of the ground crews of the segregated unit, died Sunday in Seattle, Washington, at the age of 88. Hickman was among those who traveled to Washington, D.C. to receive the Congressional Gold Medal in 2007, and in 2009, he was an invited guest at President Barack Obama's inauguration. According to an Army profile posted on the Internet in 2010, Hickman served in the United States Army Air Corps from 1943 until 1945. He was part of the graduating class of 1944 at the Tuskegee Airfield. According to a report from the Associated Press, Hickman was eliminated from pilot training in 1943, and while a cadet captain, was barred from flying after calling out white superior officers for mistreatment of a fellow black cadet. He went on to graduate from the program as a crewman. Following his service, he moved to Seattle in 1955, where he worked for Boeing as an engineering training instructor and aerospace executive until his retirement in 1984. Farewell, Captain Hicks, and we thank you for your service. I'm Glenn Moyer. We thank you for listening. Until next time, you're now cleared for departure.